Love you.
You thought I was going to preach for the whole hour, didn't you? I was going to keep going. No.
It's kind of funny you say that. Every week my time to give the message keeps getting shorter and shorter and shorter. It's helping to sharpen me as a speaker, so I thank you, Pastor Bill. This is his wisdom, infinite wisdom that he has being a pastor for so many years. He's actually training me to become a better speaker through all this. So thank you, Pastor Bill, for that. Does everyone have sermon notes? If you don't have sermon notes, please raise your hand. I think the ushers already got them out. But a couple of you need sermon notes. Okay. We're going to dive right into the sermon notes this morning. All right. We have this theme verse for this whole series. It's found in your sermon notes up at the top, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So this is part 3, called to disciple. In week 1, we covered what does it mean to be family in the church? What does it look like? What is it like to have, you can have great family members in the church. Maybe you didn't have great family members in your biological family. Maybe you didn't even have a father present or a mother present, or maybe you weren't able to even have children. You can actually have spiritual sons and daughters. You can have spiritual mothers and fathers. You can have spiritual brothers and sisters in the church. Week 1 was that foundational, inspirational message. And then we had this theme verse, so I want to read it to you. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. I want you to know, Paul is saying to Timothy, his spiritual son, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God wants to teach us something. He wants to show us how can we live in this family. And just so we're clear, it says God's family is the church. So we're talking about our spiritual family, the church. There are three things that a healthy church family has to fight to preserve. Number one, you can write this down. We cover this in week 2, fellowship. Fellowship. A healthy church family fights to preserve fellowship. Number 2, a healthy church family fights to preserve mentorship. That's this week. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dig into that. We're called to disciple. Number 3, a healthy church family fights to preserve unity. Unity. And I'll tease it. If Pastor Scott doesn't make it next Sunday, I'm working on this message. Even now in my heart, I'm just thinking, all right, I know what I'm going to share. Here's a little teaser for it. Unity is the oil that keeps the engine running of fellowship and mentorship. If you don't have unity, you're going to stall out. Just letting you know. So we're going to dig into that, if not next week, the following week. So let's dig into this subject on mentorship. That's what this week is. And a good way to do it, I told you last week, theologians like to teach the law of first mention. If you want to study something in its kind of purest teaching, go to the first time it was mentioned in the Bible. So I actually did a word search for the word disciple in the Bible. And it was in reference to Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Now, if you don't know much about the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied about Jesus coming 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. In fact, there are 353, I think, if the count is correct of what I looked up, but 353 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament that have been fulfilled 100% by Jesus, which is incredible. 125 of those are found in Isaiah. So Isaiah, God used him powerfully as a prophet, speak to the nation of Israel, but he also speaks powerfully to all of us today, talking about Jesus and prophesying about what Jesus would do. So let's look at this scripture in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, the Lord God, that's referring to the Father. So Isaiah is actually referencing Jesus. Is like, this is Jesus talking in the prophetic scripture here. The Lord God, the Father, has given me, Jesus, the tongue of disciples. What does that mean, the tongue of disciples? Other translations say the tongue of the educator, the tongue of the learned. Basically, Jesus is learning from his heavenly Father. He's being mentored by his Father. He's being educated. And for what purpose? So that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. It's for us. Any of you feel weary today? Any of you experience seasons of weariness where you're in this journey with God, but you're kind of stalling out. You're feeling discouraged. Jesus was being a mentor so that he can be someone who can mentor others and encourage them on their journey. That's really what a mentor is. A disciple maker is someone who encourages others on their journey with God. I geeked out over this scripture, just letting you know. Like 700 years before. And he says, so he's talking about, Jesus is talking about what he does every day. So when he was here on this earth, every day, he says, God the Father awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. He had this close, intimate relationship with his heavenly Father, and it was a mentoring relationship. There are so many scriptures in the New Testament where it talks about Jesus. He got away from the crowd, and he went and he prayed and he talked to his Father. He said, I don't say anything apart from what my Father has spoken to me already. That's really cool. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. He's our chief cornerstone of our faith. He's the foundation of our faith. So his example is for us to learn from, right? He became a disciple so that he can teach others to be disciples. He was a mentor who's encouraged, whose words encouraged and sustained those who heard them. I mean, he was the real deal, the real deal. And the example that he gives us is two things. One, we have to remember we need to be mentored by God, our Father. So our relationship with God is number one. But number two, we need to be mentored by others, by other believers. That's what this message is about. So that's the foundational scripture for this teaching. Let's break it down a little bit more. Here's something, if you don't know, relationships lead to discipleship. Relationships, I'll say it this way. It's in the context of those relationships, those connections that you make with people in the church, the Holy Spirit actually guides you along those paths and those connecting points to find mentors in your life. That's really good. The Holy Spirit does desire to lead you to people who can help you on your journey. God hasn't left you without any help in this world. You don't have to be alone. Have you ever felt isolated? It doesn't matter what church size you go to. Any church where you feel isolated and alone is too big for you, okay? But as we grow as a church, we need to get smaller as a church too. That's why small groups are so important. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul, thank you, Pastor Carl. What an encourager. He goes, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, this is the principle, 222 principle. It says, the things you've learned from me, Paul talking to Timothy, the things you've learned from me in the presence of many witnesses. Let's just pause right there. In the presence of many witnesses, it's talking about fellowship. He's saying, in the context of our small groups that we've been having, you've been learning something from me. And he says, you are to entrust what I've taught you in this context to other faithful people who will also be qualified to pass it on to others. Quick question, if you can count, how many generations is he referring to in this passage? I count four. Four generations. Paul teaching Timothy, Timothy teaching other faithful people, and those other faithful people teaching others. Four generations are impacted. That's called the law of multiplication. It's a principle in the Bible of multiplication. How about this? I'll give you an analogy about it. What's the fruit of an apple tree? It's not apples. It's another apple tree is the fruit. See, within the seed of the apple is the ability to multiply and grow and produce more. So what's the fruit of a small group? To produce other small groups, right? So my encouragement to small group leaders, this is specifically to you, but also anyone who's going to join a small group, just know you may be targeted by one of those small group leaders to be an assistant leader. You go, well, I'm not going to show up then. No, I encourage you to show up. But a tip to small group leaders, those first few weeks, find the one who's there consistently, on time, and you ask them to bring like some chips, and they bring it. They're faithful. Immediately, after those 3 weeks, say, hey, come alongside me, be my assistant leader. And you'll begin the process of multiplication. I love doing that. I love seeing that list. I've seen people that I've discipled. Edmund's leading a small group now. That's so awesome. Ken Redding's leading a small group now. That's so awesome. It's the principle of multiplication. That's discipleship. We can break down this concept of discipleship even more. There are three relationships everyone should have in the church. Everyone, no exception. We look at an example in Scripture of these awesome men of God, Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. These were all disciples. These were all people in Scripture that God used powerfully. But really a key to them and their journey with God, they had great relationships. They were in family. And so let's break it down. You can write this down. Paul was a spiritual father. So a Paul in your life would be a spiritual father or mother. So Paul represents the spiritual fathers and mothers. What was he a father to? He was a father to Timothy and to Titus, pastors and great men of God. I got some photos of some of my spiritual fathers and mothers. Here's Pastor Bill and Rebecca taking us out on their airboat. Yeah, I just love that. That was so much fun. Thank you, Rebecca and Pastor Bill, taking us out. Also, Pastor Carl and Brenda, that's our premarital counseling certificate that they're handing us. So we did premarital counseling with them, which is awesome spiritual mother and father to us. And there's Lee Grady, a dear friend of mine. He travels all over the world. He has this great ministry called the Mordecai Project, and it's about helping abused women in other countries. That there are cultures where the abuse is heinous to women. in other countries. And he goes directly to those communities and he preaches directly to them about repenting and changing and creating a culture that's countercultural, but that's life-giving, where you actually empower women to beat them down, literally beat them down. So I just love Lee. Man, I just like, even thinking about my grandfather recently, I mean, he passed away 2 hours after we visited him, like 2 hours. But he was just a guy who was so involved in my life growing up. Through the darkest times of my family growing up, he was there. And like any great grandfather, he spoiled the heck out of me. It was so great. So it's an important subject. It's very emotional for me too. The second relationship you need to pursue in the church are Barnabases. What you need are spiritual brothers and sisters. We all need those people. You find this in fellowship. You find this in community. Those people that you can just hang out with, let your hair down, be yourself. You don't have to put on a front. Is that weird? Okay, I guess a guy saying let your hair down is weird. What's the analogy for guys? Don't shave. Oh, here's my friend Doug. he's such a Barnabas. And Lillian's like, what are you doing? This perfectly like summarizes our relationship and how it affects Lillian too. It's like she's like, it's this weird relationship that Doug and I have, and Lillian's caught in the middle of it all. And here's Pastor Kaivon and myself. This was our fish fry competition. We went fishing on a pastor's trip, fishing trip, and then we brought the fish back, and I said, let's do a fish fry. And of course, we're both competitive, so it became a competition, and I won, of course. So, yeah. Everyone should also have Timothys in your life. Timothys, those are spiritual sons and daughters. Timothy was mentored by Paul, mentored by him, trained by him, encouraged by him on his journey. I think there's a photo of a small group that I was leading. You see it? There it is. It's just in our living room. A few of these guys are still here at our church. Edmund, Roosevelt, Daniel, and there's Peter. He moved away, but it's such an honor. If you've never experienced having a spiritual son, it is so life-giving. It's challenging for you as the one discipling, but I'll talk later. I'll give you tips later in the message, but just letting you know, it's so worth the investment. It fills you up. It strengthens you in your own walk and really helps the next generation step up and become more like Christ. It's so important. Quick side note about mentors before I go into the practical side of this message. A mentor is never a substitute for the voice of God. I'll say that again. A mentor is never a substitute for the voice of God. You cannot substitute mentorship and think it's going to somehow compensate for a lack of having a relationship with God. You got to know God first. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be your helper, and he will lead you into all truth. Like, he's the one who's going to teach you. So he's going to be that voice that will tell you, hey, listen to this advice. Or, hey, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. Don't listen to that person. Like, don't do, like, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there's safety. But, if, you know, it's not just one mentor that you can go to and expect to receive, like, wisdom from on high. Your relationship with God comes number one. But what God does, he'll send you mentors along the way. He'll confirm to you what he's already been talking to you about. So I remember back in 2010 when I graduated from college and had 2 degrees, one in chemistry, one in chemical engineering. It was the height of the recession. No one was hiring. No one. Every door was slammed shut in my face. And I had to pray. And my heart, I just knew I was called to ministry. Like God, the Holy Spirit was telling me, you're called. This is why I'm shutting doors in your face. You're called to ministry. I'm like, yeah, but I can do that after I have my career, right? I had my dream, the dream that I grew up with. I worked 6 years for those 2 degrees. I interned 3 summer semesters. What? And God was saying, you're called. And God sent me people along the way, Rebecca and Pastor Bill and Pastor Carl and Brendan, people who just encouraged me when I was seeking God. And they didn't outright tell you you're called. Actually, Rebecca did. She's so direct. But I love you so much. Sometimes you just need someone to just cut to the chase and be direct with you. But they encouraged me, and it took 2 years for me to finally give in to God calling me into ministry and doing it full time. But I was so grateful. I mean, they helped sustain me along that journey. They spoke words that sustained me, like Jesus said, you know, you become a mentor yourself so you can speak words that sustain others. Really cool. I love that. So let's get real practical. Five steps to finding a Paul. So finding my Paul. So how do I find a Paul? How do I find a mentor? How do I find a spiritual father or mother? Number one, real practical. I will find someone I admire. You can write that down. I will find someone that I admire. I love what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says. Remember those who led you. Remember them. Who spoke the word of God to you. They come across your path. And considering the key word, the result of their conduct. They're getting results in their life. Come on. They're getting results. Imitate their faith. Imitate them. Find someone you go, man, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. You're good with finances. I'm terrible with finances. I want to be like you. Your marriage looks pretty good. Mine's not so great. I want to be like you. Your kids, they're not crazy. Mine are crazy. I want to be like you. I want to imitate you. I admire you. Find someone that you admire. Number two, I will find someone with God experiences. God experiences. This is important. I was going to say just experience. You can find lots of mentors in this world, in the public sector, and wherever your sphere of influence is. You can find people who mentor you. Hopefully you're in a job where they have a business culture where there's training and opportunity to be mentored by others. But in the church and in life, you really want to surround yourself with people who've experienced God, like for real experienced God, who can tell you stories about God's faithfulness, how he's come through. I mean, I look at Pastor Bill and the way he's able to be so steady and calm in this season of testing for him, and he's just like, don't get mad at God. He's great. God's going to work it out. I mean, he's so full of faith right now, he's had God experiences that he's fallen back on, right? You got to surround yourself with mentors who are like that. It's true. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 25. I was young, and now I'm old. How many of you, amen, or oh my? I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I've lived this life. I've never seen God just leave us. He always had my back. I've seen people who seek God, and God's always come through for them. This guy, he knows. He's experienced God. And he's encouraging others in this psalm, trust in God. I love that. I love that. Number three, the third step you need to take is, I will ask to be mentored. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I encourage you, don't expect a mentor to just come up to you and say, hey, can I mentor you? Mentors are busy. They're busy doing ministry. They're busy raising their family. They're busy running a business. They're busy. That's why you want them to be your mentor, because they're doing stuff and they're accomplishing things. You got to ask. You got to ask for their time. You got to ask them. How does this happen? You go, oh, well, how do I even find someone? Fellowship, community. I guarantee you, if you commit to a full small group semester, the small group semester is 8 weeks. If you commit to be there every single week, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will highlight someone to you in that group that you can say, hey, I admire you. They've had some God experiences. I need to ask them to be my mentor. And the thing is, like, the small group semesters, and it can happen outside of small groups. We just use that as a strategy, that's all. But in the church, you should be building relationships and community so that you have that trust that's gained, right? And you know, hey, that's someone that I can connect with, and they know me, and God's trying to help us all step by step to get mentors into our lives. Once he's identified them to you, ask him to mentor you. So what if they reject me? I'm sorry, they won't reject you. They just won't. They may say, well, I can't meet with you every week. That's fine. A mentor can meet with you maybe once a month. Just have breakfast. Lee Grady, I hardly ever meet with him, but he shoots me text messages just about every week. You know, we can talk on the phone. There's a pastor, an associate pastor at Grace Family Church in Tampa. Love him. Roy Taylor. It's awesome. We have a conference hall, 1 hour every month, just 1 hour every month. But man, it's so life-giving, and I get to ask him questions, and it's just like, oh, so good. I love it. So refreshing. Trust me, you want it. John chapter 16, verse 24 says, until now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. You didn't know that you could do that, but I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to go with the Father. Now you're going to be able to go to the Father directly and ask him for some things. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. So this scripture is a big umbrella scripture. You can apply it to any area of your life. I encourage you to apply it to finding someone to mentor you. Just ask God, God, show me someone, highlight someone that could be my mentor. That's good. Number four, the fourth step you need to take, I will ask questions. I will ask questions. I came across this proverb. I probably read it before, but man, in some seasons of life, you gloss over certain scriptures because it just doesn't resonate or make sense to you in that season. This is a season where this just blew my mind when I read it. Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So this proverb is referring to two people. One person is the man that has counsel in his heart. That's like a deep well. And the other man is the man of understanding that says, I'm going to pull from that wisdom. I'm going to draw from that well of knowledge and understanding and counsel. A person of understanding, we all want to be a person who's understanding and full of wisdom, like a wise one is going to pull from other people's experiences. How do you do that? How do you pull on that bucket, pull all that wisdom out? You ask questions. Got to ask questions. There's this great book by John Maxwell. I love John Maxwell. I love reading his leadership stuff. And there's a book called Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. I encourage everyone, that's a good book to start out with if you're trying to understand leadership. But even if you're just wanting to build great relationships, that book is really about building great, life-giving relationships. Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. I recommend it. Also, I've made, there's a handout available to everyone. You can get it at the Information Center. I didn't include it in your worship guide. That's 10 questions you can ask a mentor. Just make it easy. Here's some 10 starter questions. If you don't know what kind of questions to ask, I got it out at the Information Center. How do you handle stress? That's a good question to ask a mentor. What did you learn from the greatest failure of your life? That's a good one. How do you manage your time? That's good. What have been the greatest surprises in your life? I won't go through the whole list, but these are good questions that will draw from the well of their knowledge and wisdom. So I have it available for you out of the Information Center in the lobby. I just love talking to Pastor Roy over the phone every month, and I just ask him questions because he's an associate pastor just like me, and I'm young. And he's got some mileage, being an associate pastor. He's got some, I think he's in his 40s right now. He may be really appreciating that. He may be in his 50s, but man, he's just so full of wisdom. I love asking him questions. And something happens where you just get so inspired and equipped when you ask the right questions. So that's why I have this available for you. Ask the right questions. Ask good questions. Last step, number five, and this is something that's, you got to have humility for this, just forewarning you. Be courageous, have humility. I will be open to feedback. I'll be open to feedback. See, when you build a relationship with a mentor, they're going to see some stuff in your life that's kind of messy, We all have blind spots. We all have stuff where we just don't realize we have some issues, character flaws or something like that. We all have blind spots. I do. I love it when I can sit with Pastor Bill and we just talk about stuff and he gives me some insight into some areas that I could improve in the church office as an associate pastor, some stuff with time management he's helped me out with, and even with exercise routine, stuff like that. There were some blind spots, and he sees them, and he gave me some feedback. Now, something about the younger generation, I don't know what it is, but I'm part of it, the millennial generation, we struggle with feedback. We struggle with criticism. We tend to freak out. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because we're also called the fatherless generation, so we don't know how to relate to authority and relate to instruction. I'm sure that's what it is. I'm speaking to the young people in the church, especially. I think the older generation, you guys typically understand feedback. I think the younger generation, and I'm one of them, be open to it, be humble. Be willing to accept the feedback. I know the default setting is, what, get defensive, be like, nah, nah. When God places a mentor in your life, they're there to speak into your life and to help you along your journey, and sometimes it's giving instruction. I love this verse out of Ecclesiastes. It's better to be criticized by a wise man than praised by a fool. How many of you pity the fool? I pity the fool. And listen, God doesn't want you to be around fools that are pitiful and will only praise you and tell you, yeah, you're doing a good job. Here's a trophy for participating. That's foolish. Okay, it's foolish. Here's a trophy for accomplishing something. Can I get an amen for that? Come on. Let's reward people for doing a good work and being faithful and diligent in what they do, not just for participating. You want to surround yourself with people who are wise, who are going to give you constructive criticism. Really important. So don't get defensive, get receptive. Don't get defensive, get receptive. Receive it. Now let's switch gears and let's look at how do we look out for our Timothys? How do we look out for our Timothys? Our spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. It's really simple. God's really going to highlight them to you, but he'll likely bring them to you. There have been guys who've sought me out. Say, hey, can you meet with me? Sure, I'll meet with you. Yeah, let's hang out. Let's talk. Sometimes, I have a pastoring gift, a shepherding gift, so I intentionally pursue people to pastor and shepherd. Otherwise, I go crazy, okay? I go nuts because I have that need, I have that drive, and I need to be constantly mentoring someone, pastoring someone. Listen, don't let that pressure you. If you don't have that gifting, that's fine. You can still be a mentor. It's just you don't have this drive to go out seeking people. But if you say, God, I'm willing, then he'll bring someone to you. And I encourage you. It's so fulfilling to be able to help encourage someone on their journey with God. It really is. So number one, what you need to do when you find your Timothy, you're looking out for him. Commit to saying this, I will be a friend. I'll be a friend. You're not going to lord over them. You're not going to control them. That's weird. There's a discipleship movement that happened that started out really good. I think, was it the 70s that this discipleship movement happened in the church? Yeah, roughly. And this idea of, like, we need to disciple people. Everyone in the church needs a disciple. You get a disciple. Everyone gets a disciple. It's like Oprah coming into the church saying, we all get disciples. And, okay, I thought that was funny when I was rehearsing it. Clearly it fell flat. Okay. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. I get little hand claps from the sound team. Love you. I literally envision Oprah saying, you all get disciples. Anyway. So, what happened in that movement was it became, like, too controlling. It's like, well, I need to go out of town. Well, you need to check with your mentor, who's discipling. Well, you need to check with them. Just confirm. Can you go out of town? It's like, what? That's weird. That's weird. That's overboard. That's extreme. But listen, like, how do you keep it not being extreme? Just commit, hey, as a mentor, I'm simply your friend. Where do I get that from? I get it from Jesus. John 15, verse 15, I no longer call you servants. I'm not just your master anymore. Because a servant does not know his master's business, meaning you don't have any ownership. You're just a hireling, right? You get paid minimum wage. You clock in, you clock out. Okay, that's not what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in people who take ownership of the family of God, who know they're a part of it. Instead, I have called you friends. He's talking to his disciples. I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I love that. See, what you share with your friends, right? You share. What's yours is theirs. You open up your home to your friends. You share meals with your friends. You share life experiences and stories with your friends. So if you're going to mentor someone, if you're going to disciple someone, view them as a friend. He shared everything with his disciples. I want to encourage you, share everything that you know. You say, well, I don't know that much. But trust me, you know a lot. You know more than the person who's coming to you who wants to be mentored. You may not know everything, but you know more than you really realize. And there's a well. I'll speak this to you. There is a well of wealth of information and knowledge inside every single one of you in this room. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can always mentor someone younger than you. There's someone who's just now getting saved and saying, Mama, I don't know what, they're on, simple scripture. That's what the Bible says, milk. There's always someone in the body of Christ that you can mentor, always. Second thing you need to do and say to yourself is, I will be an encourager. I will be an encourager. I'm here to speak words that will sustain them on their journey. I will sustain the weary. I will be an encourager. 1 Thessalonians. This is Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica, 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So he's telling them, you're already doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I'm encouraging you. Some of you, because we have Victory Church has a background in the Word of Faith movement, we understand that life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? A lot of you understand that your words are powerful and that we need to speak words that are full of faith and that are life-giving. Okay, that's really good. You're already doing it. But I want to encourage you, be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional, meaning I'm going to be intentional in my relationships. I'm going to look for opportunities to encourage people on their journey with God, especially the ones that you're mentoring. Speak words that sustain the weary, be life-giving. I just love that God speaks to us, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and encourages us, and he leads us to people that will speak to us and encourage us too. You're not in this alone at all. Not in this alone. I'm wrapping things up. Number three, I will be okay with not having all the answers. Just be okay with that. If you're mentoring, you're not meant to just be a know-it-all. In fact, Scripture says the exact opposite. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, it says, anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know much at all. Like, you don't really know that much if you really claim you do know. This is a cool Scripture, right? It's true. And you can say to them, I'm going to point you to someone who does know. Yeah, I don't know, but I'll point you to someone. You can give them resources. Say, I don't know, but I've heard of this great resource. That'll help you out. And even more importantly, here's the best thing you can do. When you don't have the answer, you say, you know what? God knows. And then teach them how to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for help. I'll end with this story real quick. There's a conference that we went to in Tampa, and there's a panel of pastors on the stage. And one pastor was the panel was about our culture and how do we there's sudden changes in our culture, right? And what's traditionally has been called wrong is now called right and being embraced and encouraged, and so there are clear biblical principles that people are violating, and in our culture they're saying just keep doing it because it's good. This one pastor was referring to a time where a young man that he was mentoring came to him and said, you know what, I know I'm gay. I was born gay. And the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of Christians is to rebuke and correct sternly and say, no, that's not true. The pastor, I believe by the grace of God and leading of the Holy Spirit, simply said to him, have you asked God what he thinks? And the young man was just kind of perplexed and stunned by that question. He said, no, I haven't. Pastor said, well, why don't we ask him right now? And he prayed, Holy Spirit, what do you say? Is he gay? And the young man's eyes just shot open. He said, God said no. He said no. And the pastor said, Holy Spirit, what's the truth? And the young man started crying, and he said, I'm a son. He said, I'm his son. It's like, wow. That's so good. The Holy Spirit is the best mentor we could ever have, right? And the best thing we can do as a church is to encourage people to be mentored by God first. And it's in that context that we can really encourage one another, right? That we can really mentor others. I love that story. It's so powerful. People believe so many things about themselves because culture's telling them one thing. They were bullied when they were young, whatever it was, or abused sexually, whatever it was. But God has a plan to redeem. And I believe it's through the family of God that God does that. It's through relationships. It's through fellowship. We've got to be in community. It's also through discipleship, mentorship. Those people who are looking out for each other on our journey with God. We're here to encourage one another. It's really powerful stuff if you buy into it. If you buy into it, ultimately the best thing we can do is put someone's hand in God's hand, right? To help people find their identity in Christ and what God says about him. Everyone just, bow your heads right now. Let's enter a time. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to talk to us. Holy Spirit, where are some lies we believe about ourselves? Please expose to us the things that we've believed our whole lives but aren't true. pray, speak to us truth, life-giving truth, that we have value, that we're sons and daughters. Our lives do mean something. We're not accidents. Father, I pray right now, everyone in this church would experience having Pauls in their lives, having Barnabases and Timothys, the vibrant, life-giving relationships in our church. I pray, Lord, help every one of us to find mentors. Right now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does anyone need or want a mentor? Or maybe would like to add more mentors to your life? Raise your hand right now. Just every head bowed. I see your hands. Come on. Awesome. Father, I pray, lead them. Lead them to the people who mentor them. You're our chief shepherd. You guide your sheep. Your sheep, we trust you. You're going to lead us. Thank you, Lord. I've got another important question to ask you. Have you been mentored by God? Do you know him as a father? Do you know him intimately? The Bible says that's called salvation. Salvation is to know God. How do you know God? You got to be born into the family. You got to be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you part of the family. Knowing God makes you part of the family. So every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If you don't know God but you want to, you feel this distance from God, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I knew God in the past, but I don't know him right now. I'm so distant from him right now. Listen, you're here today to get back on the right track. So if you fall into one of those two categories, either you want to start a relationship with God to know him, or you want to get back on track with him, would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand. Come on. Thank you. Raise your hand. And say, count me in that prayer. Count me in that prayer. Everyone pray this prayer with me and let's help him out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. Savior. I can't save myself. I want relationship with you. Please forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I want to know my Father in heaven. Right now, I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your acceptance. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Would you give God praise for what he's doing this morning?